Hello?
Yes, sir, Mr. President.
Anything on the light wires?
No. Romney did his thing. He got a little tangled up, as George does at times, although he...
I wouldn't worry about that.
He hit good and hard.
Yeah.
And I haven't had my report yet from how the vice president did, but he should have been pretty well covered. That's a good news story when he goes to South Dakota. We got a good break on our welfare reform today, I think at least.
What was that? What happened?
Well, they voted in the Senate. They voted it down. They voted down
Ribicoff,
and they voted. Well, they voted.
But they voted that down yesterday.
Well, they voted. Actually, they voted to go for a trial pilot program, which the press, at least, and our Hill fellows say is probably the end of HR1 in this session.
Yeah. So when they voted for the Roth, that's, I think,
the Roth thing, right? The Roth amendment, the test.
But
right.
Then they voted down that Stevenson thing or whatever it was. And
yes, sir. So 46-40 roll call to retain the existing system, but to run some pilot projects. But I don't know whether the reports that I've gotten are completely up to date. But if they are, it indicates that we're probably not going to get any bill, which which is the best of all outcomes.
Oh hell yes,
by far.
I told that's what I told Ehrlichman. I said, for Christ's sakes, but he knows that. He said, we don't want any bill.
God, no.
We know what we were talking about this morning. My Christ, we give an inch on welfare, we're dead.
Yep, totally. You
know, but people are against what we've already offered. But that's why we don't talk about it much.
Exactly. The mood is so different today, God. The stuff we're getting in, from various points around the country, attitudes on welfare, it's just marvelous if they killed it. I was just scared to death that they would clean it up in a hurry.
Well, I don't know whether they kill. I guess they'll now try to go with at least that, and then try to hang those other titles 2, 3, and 4
on the debt ceiling.
Or maybe just have this. I don't know how it'll work. Well, the whole thing will be tangled up in conference, I think. Unless they want to give us a tough one to veto. Well, we're going to veto the Social Security crap, though. I mean, that's all there is to it. On the basis of increased payroll taxes.
Sure. I don't think that's. I don't think that'll be a problem. I really don't. I think the old folks have all gotten their increased checks today, and they've gotten a message from you, which has George McGovern climbing up the walls.
Screaming.
Oh, Jesus. He's talking about the greatest fraud in history is a little card that's in with every check saying President Nixon signed into law on such and such a date this 20% increase passed by the Congress. It's a fact.
Hasn't that always been done before?
Yes, sir.
Didn't Roosevelt do it?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Sure.
Did any of the press squeal about that?
I recall squealing once or twice.
Probably the Chicago
Tribune
really did, but
on the outside. But
you know what I mean.
Oh, sure.
This is a. If they ask me about it, I'll say, well, that's just simply a statement of fact. We standard, it's practice.
Well, it's a very important thing, really, for the Social Security recipient to understand why it is that his check has changed, so that he knows the ground rules. That's the no, I don't. Frankly, I don't think you'll get a question on that. But if you did, that's an easy one to dismiss. That it's always been done, and it's a mere statement of fact.
I just say it's not a new procedure.
No, that's right. That's right.
Right.
I got sending you a memo, Mr. President, on this whole question of hiding in the White House and not campaigning. And
Well,
I've got an idea that you might just really turn that one and say that, I've been campaigning many years, but I think I've been around this country and people certainly know me. But the real issues in this campaign are so great. Peace, the role of the United States in the world, strong national defense, whether we have a welfare state or a work ethic, the nature of our society, that I don't think people are going to make their judgments this year on the basis of rallies or motorcades or how many cities people can get to. And in fact, in a way, all this business about all this focus on the techniques of campaigning, I read what's written every now and then, and how much a person campaigns or doesn't campaign. What's really important is the issues that are presented to the American people, the fundamental issues that affect the future of this country, and the character of the men. And I'm going to present the issues and the record of this administration and my beliefs about the future of this country. They're well known, and I think we tend in the media to tend in politics to put a lot of attention on the balloons and the razzle-dazzle, but what's really important are the issues. I think it might just really...
Well, of course, as you know, this is purely the press trying to help McGovern. That's all.
Oh, sure.
Why the assholes? They think that. And why didn't they say this in '64?
Well, It's a...
Hey, screw him. I mean, I'm gonna just give him a very cold look when that comes up, believe me.
Well, that's...
I just don't...
That's one I almost think you can really turn to your advantage, because
I think it's an
anti-political year. I mean, yeah. I just think people are... they're already sick of politics. They've had too much of it.
Yeah.
They've gotten, you know, when you read...
So you're going on to take it, right? But the whole point is, they say, hiding in the White House, not discussing the issues. I say, now, which one do you want to know my position on?
Yeah.
I'm against amnesty. I am against marijuana. I'm
right.
against abortion.
Right.
I'm against busing.
Right.
I mean, my position's very clear. I said, what is it that you have any question about?
Right.
I'm against new taxes. I'm for government reorganizations. I'm for my health bill. I've set it all out in 1972. Now, just what particular one do you think has not been covered?
That's it.
God almighty. I mean, don't you think that's the answer?
That's devastating.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in a way, and this is a reaction we're getting from people. This is a reaction that turns up in our own polls. In a way, people are a little turned off by the political stuff. I mean, rallies and... And motorcades and...
we're going to have some motorcades.
Well, sure, but I mean, of course. And some of that is necessary in a campaign.
I particularly think they're turned off with the rally. I think the rally with the shouting and the hoopla and the screaming and everything just turns people off.
Well, and politicians who promise everything...
Yeah, and get out there and like McGovern, Christ almighty, how he could go and make a law and order speech, Chuck. For Christ's sakes, this son of a bitch who voted against Haynesworth and voted against Carswell...
That's right.
Did he vote against Rehnquist?
No.
Was he absent?
No, he didn't vote against Rehnquist because we only lost two on that.
Powell? Probably.
Now, wait a minute. No, anyway. Powell, there were no negative votes.
Was that right? I don't know.
As I recall, he was unanimous.
Yeah. We didn't lose just two on Rehnquist, for Christ's sake.
No, I'm
26.
Sorry. I'm sorry, that's right.
A hell of a loss on that. He might have been against him.
He could. I should check that.
Well, it's not that important. The point is, he's a goddamn permissive bastard.
Yeah. That's
and,
right.
Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. and that's the public image of him. So there isn't. To me, he can't.
We've had a very interesting check in the Southern California area, and believe me, I mean, you know, it's one of these things that's done on this rolling wave in Orange County, Los Angeles. It's just rolling like hell out there. I mean, for us. I mean, this guy is not. I mean, they talk about California. Don't worry about it.
No.
But when it's going like that, and I know Orange and Los Angeles counties, when you go big there, Christ, you can't lose. You're going to win the state. Easy.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Somebody picked up on the line.
Hello?
Hello? There we are.
Yeah.
Well, the... No,
but, you know, that's very interesting. And this whole business of the hiding and so forth, they're depressed. And I think really it's going to discombobulate them totally. When I do this little silly office conference tomorrow, you know, it doesn't mean a goddamn thing. I mean, they don't need to, you know, I go in there and answer half a dozen questions or 15, and so they won't know a damn bit more than they did before.
No.
Not a thing.
That's right. And then
what are they going to scream about? They'll say, well, we wish you'd do it more often. Well, isn't that too bad? Once a month's enough.
That's right. Well, I think it's a good time for it, Mr. President. I think it's not because of what the press has been saying. The hell with that.
Yeah.
But simply because it's a
chance to make a few points.
Sure. Every time that you're able to talk about the great issues that affect the future of this country, you get people thinking again about those issues. And damn it, we win on all those issues. Especially the way you frame them. I think that. There is no way that you can come out of. I mean, you can get over any of the negative questions very easily, I think.
Well, they have the usual ones. Watergate and the grain deal and all that bullshit. And I'll just I'm gonna. I can finesse all that. It doesn't bother me.
Well, I don't think those. I don't think those are a problem.
He's going to have his problem too. I don't know how the hell he's going to have his new peace plan for Vietnam. What in the name of God it could be, I don't know. But let him go. I just hope to God he gets something so that we can say he would impose a communist government. We'll murder him.
Well, that'll be the end. It'll be the end if he does that. And you know, he may just be desperate enough to really go even further than he has gone. And if he does that, he's
then we've got to jump on him with all fours. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I have a speech that Lowell Weicker sent down to me that he's been using up in Connecticut. My God, it
Weicker?
Yeah, reads like a
great liberal.
Yeah, that great liberal reads like a right-wing reactionary.
Really?
And
what's he saying? Why is he doing it?
Oh, he's
the mood is different. Huh?
The mood is different, and
isn't that great?
Just kicks the the Jesus out of McGovern for exploiting the prisoner thing, and he said this blind defense of Hanoi's exploiting the prisoner's release and the promise of total amnesty to those who've broken the law tells me that even a patriotic man like George McGovern can become the most foolish of candidates. And then he goes, great, it kicks the hell out of him. And according to him, he's just going around Connecticut talking about amnesty and the Vietnam War. Now, there's a guy who, when he came to Congress, as you know, we worked like hell.
We lost him on some votes, too.
Sure. But he's reading the tea leaves and the political grassroots feeling. And I was asking, it was interesting, I asked last night to everybody that I had a chance to talk to just because I wanted to get impressions whether they thought the corruption charge and the stridency and the wild language was setting in, and people said, oh my God, that's just, you know, that's the worst thing you do. That's going to bounce.
Incidentally, I thought it was very significant what Jerry Waldie said, though. Here's a guy who's a candidate for,
yes, sir,
candidate for governor, you know. And
that's right.
Liberal Democrat. He's a bright fellow. I like him as a person. I mean, he's very bright, but he knew that was dynamite.
I think it was...
See, he did that, incidentally. Yep. You don't know the Californians, but the Comstock Club is a group of Sacramento lobbyists and business people and the rest where basically a gubernatorial candidate has got to have support. And, you know, they're a bunch of whores. It's like going to the, you know, the burning tree or something, and they got to be... You don't have them, you don't win.
Mm-hmm.
When he had that question, you know, it came from a question from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
He damn well hit McGovern in the chops.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hope that's used today by somebody. Get it to all the surrogates?
Yes, sir. We called it, and then we sent it out on Dex machines, and we had it hand-carried around, and we're getting the actual transcript. I think, well, I don't know. By now, we ought to have it on our own Spotmaster. We were going to run it on our own radio
is that right?
System to get it out. We're trying to get the actual transcript. But it's
that's good enough as it is.
Oh yeah, no, it's great. It is significant that that congressman, a liberal congressman who is for McGovern,
calls it gutter politics.
Would take him to task for gutter politics, and that's just what.
Now the thing to do is for Agnew just to quote him, not say it, but just quote him. Don't charge him with it, but quote Waldie.
Well, we called Agnew and read it to his people, and he was going to use it. I have not seen the wires moving out of South Dakota yet, but.
Right. Where did he speak in South Dakota, Chuck?
He was in
Rapid City.
Rapid City.
Sioux Falls.
No, Rapid City. Announcing there was some damn federal grant that we were.
I don't know whether anybody's editorialized about the corrupt thing. Has anybody said it was?
Corson told me they have, Mr. President. I haven't seen them yet, but he said that he was collecting some and he'd been making calls, and he was getting people to write on it, and we'll get columns on it and editorials. The thing that
we don't want to drive them off of it, actually.
No, I'd rather have them talking about this than the economy. This is Semlinger's point. He said, God, he said, you.
Incidentally, get the letter writers to all to write him and say, great, go ahead, pour it to him. Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
Get about 30, 40 letters into him right away.
I was getting, I'll do that. I was getting them.
Not the other way. No.
I was getting them writing letters to the editor the other way. But
write to McGovern to Mankiewicz.
Mankiewicz. Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank God he's finally got a good advisor. You got to pour it on this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe some to Larry O'Brien who will go for that also. That's Larry O'Brien's style. But
sure.
I don't know if it's Larry. I don't think Larry goes quite this far.
Well, Larry's been awful silent lately.
He sure has been quiet.
Right.
Very, very quiet. I think there are reasons for that. But, I don't think he can make it take, Mr. President. I really don't. Tell you what he's about to do, though. He's about to cause George Meany to go all the way, I think.
What's he going to do? Be taking him on again?
Well, Shriver has made an incredible miscalculation. You know, they've had this problem with the Colorado Labor Council, which defied Meany.
Yeah.
They've been trying to get, the Colorado Labor Council has been trying to get Shriver to come in.
Yeah.
And one of the late wires tonight says, after more than a week of indecision and a long series of scheduling changes, flip-flops, Democratic vice presidential candidate Sergeant Shriver decided finally today he will make a campaign address at a Colorado Labor Council meeting in Denver tonight. If he does that, this isn't the wires, but my understanding is, if he does that, that Meany will at the right time go all the way and say, well, here's would release some people like Paul Hall, and it would put Abel would, would go with him.
Yeah.
If these guys are dumb enough to do this,
I just draw the sword on Meany.
Well, that, oh hell, God, what a break that would be. Because Meany today cracked down on those councils that had passed anti-Nixon resolutions but hadn't taken any formal action. Which, you know,
for him.
Like in California, he raised hell with Hennings and wrote Hennings and told him and made it public that he would have to back off and not even pass that kind of a resolution.
God, that's great.
So Meany, if
best thing we've done.
Oh Jesus. If this jackass Shriver should go in there, I can't believe this wire. I can't believe they're that stupid.
Hope he does.
Then what he's doing is making it a test of manhood with Meany. If he makes it a test of manhood with Meany, my prediction is that within...
Send, if you have a couple of wires, three or four, sent to Shriver. He probably didn't get many anyway, and say, congratulations, finally we have a person with guts taking on this mean son of a bitch.
Taking on that old baron.
The old curmudgeon.
That's right.
Send some wire. Send about 8 or 10, you know, from various places, you know. Thank God for one man that'll speak out and has the guts to do it.
You know, Shriver is such a sophomore that would just get to him.
It'll get to him.
Yeah.
Send it to him.
It really will.
That's the way to play the game. Don't do the obvious. Do the other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whenever you want somebody not to do something, tell them to do it. Well, anyway, I'll read your memorandum, and we'll take this thing on.
Well, I just think it's an opportunity. I think people are in that serious mood, right. Mr. President.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.